Defect, DI. It is a very good idea to leave a sinking ship. They lie to you, DI. You know you cannot win this war. Your rich leaders grow richer while you die in the swamp, DI. They will give you a medal, DI, but only after you are dead. Your government lies to you every day, poor soldier. You have lost this war, DI. Your army will leave you behind. Imperialists made you fight this war, DI. They do not care about you. DI, your government has betrayed you. You will not return for you. DI, your airplanes bomb your own men. You are not safe here. The skies are dangerous, DI. They will napalm you tonight. Your pilots do not care that you are down here, GI. Okay. You cannot dig foxhole too high in, GI Joe. Your bombers will find you. GI, your helicopters fall from the sky like broken birds. They cannot see from your airplanes, GI. They come to bomb you.
Sense Radio. Wow.
An official White House statement called Brezhnev one of the world's most important figures who played a very significant role in the shaping of U.S.-Soviet relations during his pregnancy. Former President Nixon called Brezhnev a ruthless schemer and a relentless aggressor. Nixon.
Radio Patapu, je wordt er gek van!
Radio Patapou en de arbeidersklasse.
Met een daverende klap is vanmorgen de koningin in Rotterdam met behulp van dynamiet definitief omzet.
Away. techno. Met een K.
Maar er was toch een andere naam.
Acid Core.
Acid Core. En hoe heet deze club hier? Met, hoe heet die club ook alweer hier? Het is een geheime club toch of zo?
Club Nooit Gedacht.
Dat mag je niet zeggen.
Nooit Gedacht.
Niet zeggen. Sst. Wel denken. Nooit, hè?
Nooit gedacht.
Je hebt dat nou ooit kunnen bedenken.
Echt niet.
Enjoy. Techno zoals u nog nooit techno gehoord hebt.
Lekker!
Oh ja. Nou,
De kracht van Radio Patapoe ligt in zijn zendbereik.
Just a reflection through the light. looking glass. You've been looking at your life through a mirror. It's time you started seeing things a little bit clearer. Then through the looking glass, let me break through, girl. I still love you, girl. I think you love me by the way. Then I turn around for a minute, you conquer.
Куда ты, девчонка, торопишься? Куда ты, сестренка, спешишь? И топишь педаль, будто топишься. Как нить обрывается жизнь. И выпала в сон ты навечно. Из жизни навечно ушла. Ты огненная, сердечная. Была, не привыкнуть, была. Мы все по полжизни сложили бы какой-нибудь жертвенный храм. Но как небеса не молили мы тебя не вернуть нынче нам. Судьба так жестоко слукавила, ушла ты на небо теперь. Загадку на память оставила и настежь открытую дверь. Куда ты, девчонка, торопишься? Куда ты, сестренка, спешишь? И топишь педаль, будто топишься. Как нить обрывается жизнь. Куда ты, девчонка, торопишься? Как нить обрывается жизнь.
Techno, met een K.
Maar er was toch een andere naam.
Acid Core.
Acid Core, en hoe heet deze club hier? Hoe heet die club ook alweer hier? Geheime club toch of zo?
Club Nooit Gedacht.
Dat mag je niet zeggen.
Nooit Gedacht.
Niet zeggen. Sst. Wel denken. Nooit, hè?
Nooit Gedacht.
Ooit kunnen bedenken.
Echt niet.
Enjoy. Techno zoals u nog nooit techno gehoord hebt.
Lekker.
Nou, huh?
Hello and welcome to Soil Matters. This is Tanya, and this is a little radio show, a little get together to discuss all things soil, and we pretty much come together in an attempt to discuss our privilege as humans in this ecosystem. We also attempt to merge perspectives from the physical and social sciences, arts and literature. Before we get started, I want to pay respects to the elders and Indigenous caretakers, past, present and future, from the lands across this planet. And then joining me today, I've got Jacqueline Hederma and Alina.
Kirsten.
Kirsten. Kirsten. Kirsten.
Yeah. Kirsten, yeah.
Yes, Kirsten. Welcome.
Thank you.
Do you guys want to say a quick hello?
Hi. Yeah, hey. Very nice to be here.
Fantastic. It's really, really great that you guys are here. And also I want to say, I'm a little bit distracted right now because I'm a bit nervous because this is our first time broadcasting from out in the wild or out on location. We're not really in the wild, but we're preparing ourselves for when we are really in the wild. But we're in the Amstel Park today, just by the London Hoarding, and we're going to talk more about that location in a minute. At the moment, we're just listening to Between the Time. The song is called Between the Time. And it's by Patrick Selinger, who I probably said his name wrong. He's from an artist from Antwerp. And next up, we're going to listen to Language is a Virus by
Laurie Anderson.
Yahoo! Woo! Enjoy it.
Saw this guy on the train, and he seemed to have gotten stuck in one of those abstract chances. And he was going. And Fred said, I think he's in some kind of pain. I think it's a pain cry. And I said, pain cry. Then language. Talking to a friend, and I was saying, I wanted you, and I was looking for you, but I couldn't find you. I couldn't find you. And he said, hey, you talking to me? Are you just practicing for one of those performances of yours?
Huh? It's a virus.
Tell the judge that it was you. And I had to sell the car and go to Florida because that's just my way of saying
that I love you.
I had to call you at the crack of dawn and list the times that I've been wrong. That's just my way of saying that I'm sorry.
It's a job.
Sorry.
It's a virus.
So yeah, I just want to start by saying that I'm so happy that we played this song by Laurie Anderson to start this episode with, because yesterday we got together, last night, for a picnic to chat a bit, to get to know each other a bit better, and we discovered our shared fascination for the work by Laurie Anderson, her songs, her performances, and yeah, we even made some lovely plans to explore how we can work together potentially in the future. So it's fantastic to start with this song.
Exactly. I also have a huge appreciation for Laurie Anderson, and Laurie, if you're listening, thanks so much for your support.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah, or feel free to jump the gun and just contact us, no problem. yeah, Lena, would you like to introduce yourself? How did you come to being on this picnic blanket today?
I am working as a visual artist and also as a curator. And in 2018, I met Jacqueline, and we discovered a interesting parallel between projects that we were both doing individually. So we started to speak about that. We started a conversation, and this has been going on since. Every now and then we get together or we speak on the phone, and we try to dig a bit deeper, and with each project we make new steps. Now 3 years later we are having a little residency, like a working period here at the Amstel Park, and are working with other people as well, with performers to see how we can design, or how we can shape, how we can work with soil, and how we can have more intentional encounters with it.
And when did your fascination with soil begin?
It's hard to give a starting date, but in 2018, when this project started, I stumbled upon a soil drilling that I found on the side of the road in Rome. And this
Soil drilling? Soil drilling.
A drilling.
You stumbled across the drilling.
Yeah.
The course. Not the act of the drilling.
No, so I was in Rome for this project, and the cores were lying in boxes on the side of the road. They were done probably to figure out, for building purposes, to find out composition, and they were just left there on the side of the road.
Wow, and I thought, like, you know, if I find a nice bowl on a Sunday evening by the bin, I thought I was doing well, but well, one up to me there.
Well, this is Italy, and I guess, when you don't have the means to transport it, you can just leave it on the side of the road. But I found it, and I was very interested in this area, because I learned that in this area a volcano erupted multiple times, but one specific time was 277,000 years ago, and the lava made a long plaque, you could say, on which then the Romans built their first trade route, the Via Appia. And I was interested in this route and the soil composition beneath it. And yeah, I wanted to know more about it. And I found this soil cores in boxes. And this was, I guess, a starting point that I can...
The beginning of a long relationship.
Yeah.
And what... And then, Jacqueline, you're here on this picnic blanket too. And how does your work tie in with this volcanic eruption?
I think it's. I'm always fascinated by the concept of time. And how time, even deep time, is still influencing current time and future time. And I did a soil drilling here at Amstel Park at the Land in Wording, together with Tanya and some other people. my drilling was like 10 meters deep and approximately a timeline of 6,000 years, which is, of course, only a very tiny, tiny step if you compare it to the Italian 277,000 years.
Yeah, and oh yes. Well, what we also learned yesterday was that this eruption was going for thousands of years on and off. It wasn't just a single date.
No,
but
yeah.
An ongoing eruption.
And I read somewhere that your volcano, Eline, had one of the last eruptions like 600 BC. Well, let's say 3,000 years ago. So that coincided with layers in my Land in Warning drilling. So there is a kind of parallel, and maybe we should actually start looking for some volcano dust in my in my Amsterdam soil, because these eruptions, of course, blew also not only produced lava, but also blew enormous amounts of dust and particles into the air, which also influenced the climate at that point, at that time.
Yeah, it has a cooling effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because the time that we're looking at, well, in this more recent drilling, you know, this is from the time of the Pleistocene-Holocene transition, which is a climate warming. So imagine if perhaps this volcanic eruption hadn't have taken place and it would have been an even more intense period, a higher rate of warming.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
For this more recent eruption. But then, so I have one question. Well, I have so many questions, but I have one question about your core. So, at the top of the core, is that at the land surface, or is that what is the top?
So I found three boxes, and the one started from 5 meters, so 5 to 6 meters, you know, so the first 5 meters I don't have, but you can see that kind of the basalt, the cool down lava, starts from 6 meters underneath what's now the surface. So yeah, it's kind of 6 meters of topsoil that's grew there, or what's the word, that formed there,
emerged there
over the last 277,000 ish years. Yeah, I did look with a volcanologist to the boxes and to my samples, but yeah. You know, I'm speaking here from my artistic perspective. I'm sometimes missing like the lexicon to really express these geological terms.
Yeah, but the nice thing is probably the listeners understand.
It's a fluid show.
Oh, yeah.
I think we don't always have to have the perfect word.
Because for me, you know, speaking with this volcanologist was incredibly interesting, but it's, for me, visually even more interesting, the fact that the soil underneath this layer of lava, so the lava is about 10 meters ish.
Okay, so that 10 meters, that would correspond to however many thousands of years that the volcano was erupting.
Yeah, so this lava plaque that I'm dealing with is from a particular eruption, but it might have taken indeed a long time, but it's from...
Yeah, we only looked up very briefly yesterday.
Yeah, but we know that it's about 10 meters ish.
Wow.
Because I also checked on the Via Appia with some other sources. It's about 10 meters.
Can you imagine if that was deposited in the Netherlands?
Fill up all the gaps that we made with the
heat
extraction.
Yes, when we're
finally balancing,
we might get to sea level.
We have to change the name of our country then.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah.
So there's like this 10 meter lava deposit.
Yeah, and then underneath, the soil that was lying there already, that has this beautiful color. So the first meter directly underneath the lava is bright orange because of the heat of the lava. The color changed, and the meter underneath that is still orange, but a little bit more brownish, and the meter under that is even more brown. So you can see that the the first layer on which this lava landed is more, has changed color more intensely, and as you go deeper and the heat was less intense, it went, it goes more towards brown, so more towards the original color of the soil that was lying there. And for me, visually, this it's very kind of this rich terracotta-ish color. And then the core that I found was, at the time, a few years old. It's from 2015. It was done November 2015, because the date is written on it nicely. And I also know the street where it was taken and the location exactly. But anyway... So it was not touched for many years, and the boxes, they had lids, so the rain had not touched it, so it really dried up. And if you have it in your hand now, it's very dry, sandish material that kind of really sticks on your hand. You know, it, I don't know, it's very moist here at the moment, it might be also, but yeah, so it's... For kind of for me visually, and the experience of working with it kind of via touch is as interesting as the factual geological information.
I'm curious because recently, or a week or two ago, when we were at the Peat Fest, we had this small discussion about the importance of like sensation versus theory, and I remember you saying that you felt much more comfortable with theorizing and working with theory, and then so I'm really surprised to hear you say today then how important and how much you appreciate the sensation of touch in this situation. But yeah, maybe I remember wrong.
I guess I didn't say necessarily the theorizing. I'm really triggered by language, so by words. The words that we use to describe the things around us. That's for me absolutely different than theorizing something or working with factual information, geological factual information. And it's indeed in the artworks that I make, the soil is not necessarily the first component that I work with, you know, in the artworks that I, the end product of the works that I create, the generally the soil is not physically there, like
present,
you know, the way that Jacqueline works is completely different. So I indeed work more immaterial with this language. But nonetheless, in the working process, the fact that this soil is so orange terracotta has been very important, because if it has not been, I might have not decided to pick it up from and transport it from Rome all the way to Amsterdam. You know, so yeah, the visuals are a trigger for me to make artistic decisions to decide to work with it, but they often do not end up in the end product.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because when we did the soil drilling here at Land in Woerding in Amstelpark, I felt also more or less guilty about intruding in the ground, and Tanya and I discussed it a lot about our sense of guilt, and because you actually appropriate something, you take it. I took it from the soil, and since then I feel like I'm the custodian of these 10 meters of soil. So I have to take care. I have to store them gently in the fridge, and they're very precious for me. How did that feel when you transported the Roman lava course to the Netherlands? Did you feel like you were appropriating something? Or because they had been neglected, you gave them another aura of, okay, now I'm going to take care of you? You as in soil?
Yeah. I guess I was appropriating it because, you know, I was taking them away from Rome, bringing them 1,000 kilometers further to Amsterdam. And that is an act of appropriating.
But the big difference for me was that I, in the end, did not do the drilling itself, or that the drilling was already done. And if I had not taken it, then indeed it might have just been lying in these plastic boxes for the next 50 or the next 150 years. I don't know. So I guess I felt a little bit less guilty than you did,
mm-hmm.
because I did not do the drilling. But nonetheless, there was a sense of guilt because indeed I was taking them away from their homeland.
Yeah, and if you... Oh, and I forgot it. I just wanted to ask you a question and now it slipped my mind. You go on.
No, go on. Just to face... Just to face this way when you're talking because of the microphone. But okay, what about... I have a small question about... what if I actually had a similar, really similar question, but mine was actually about the tree. When you took this, I'm not sure how you call it, but like when you drill into a tree to take a small core, like at a horizontal angle to see the tree rings.
Yeah.
In my head, I was a little bit triggered by that. And
yeah, so indeed, so I'm not only interested in this soil, but also in, because it was soil from this former trade route of the Romans that later became a pilgrim route, and it's now this very classical, romantic place. You know, if you think of Rome, this is kind of, or if you think of Italian roads, this is kind of the road that you have in your mind. So it has a lot of cultural, historical, religious, symbolic meaning that I'm also interested in next to the actual soil. So I wanted to deal with what is on top of the soil as well. And very present in the landscape are the pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
But those pine trees have been artificially planted there. But nonetheless,
What do you mean by artificially planted there?
Oh yeah, people planted them there. They didn't grow there out of nothing. No, because they're like along the roads. They're, you know, every few meters there is a pine tree.
Yeah, like, or equally spaced.
Yeah, yeah, more or less. Yeah,
yeah. I can imagine that sort of image.
But nonetheless, it really contributed to this romanticized image that we have of this, of the place and of the landscape. So I was interested in it and also in the timeline. And well, there is also another parallel trajectory because I found this botanical publication of all the vegetation that grew in the Colosseum, which was the end destination of this pilgrim route. So I don't know. So there were a few parallel trajectories going on, but anyway, then I got in touch with a dendrochronologist, a dendrologist, I think, as well. And yeah, she was like, "Yeah, we can do a drilling in trees. This is how we research their age and their condition, and we can find parts of their history in it." And because I had already the soil coring course at that point, I thought it would be interesting to put them next to each other to learn more about how old the vegetation is that grows on top of it, that has been obviously human interaction, like human placed, versus the soil that has been doing things since hundreds and thousands of years. And also the physical materiality of the thing, it's also this vertical long object.
How long is it?
It's about 40-ish centimeters.
And how thin is it?
Maybe four millimeters. So it's long, fragile object. But yeah, I got in touch with this dendrologist and we spoke a lot about it, and I was very worried that if I would do such a thing to a tree that I would damage it, or, you know. But she made sure that the tree would still be living, and the tree is able to still grow. So yes, this was also an important step in my research, although until now, until this point, until this week, I was not sure how to continue with the tree drilling.
How would you place, like, so the humans that came and planted these equally spaced pine trees, like, how would you relate that action to a volcanic eruption that completely, like, dominates the surface and places 10 meters of lava on the surface, and, like, is one more intruding than the other? Either of you?
I think probably the well, the trees are not standing on top of the lava, probably, because it's like granite. So it's basically rock now.
And then there's the topsoil that's been deposited and built up on top
so,
of that.
So, I mean, if you go back in time, you are maybe touching upon time that has not been touched by humans, but then you have to go really deep. I mean, humans have been around also a very long time, of course.
Yeah. Well, some cultures, 60,000 years.
No, or even more. So I'm not sure about that. So basically, in your drilling, there could also be traces of humans.
Yeah. Maybe what I mean is that the volcanic eruption is also very intrusive, and in a way, it's sort of maybe an artificial, like, placement in the landscape, because prior to the eruption, there would have been other vegetation and. Yeah. Ecosystems growing, and then they were just wiped out.
But the question, what is more important or what is more visible, is not so important, actually. It's much more for me about making these two worlds visible or experiential, and bringing them together, and then also addressing exactly the discrepancy between them. The fact that this tree was only 87 years old. You know, it's a very young pine tree, basically, versus this extremely old soil that suddenly sees the light after hundreds of thousands of years. So what happens in between is much more interesting than, oh, which one is more present.
Yeah, and if I understand your narratives correctly, Eline, on top of the lava, the Romans built the Via Appia again with stones.
Yeah.
The surface of the Via Appia is with stones. Yeah. It's not directly on the rock, on the rock bed.
No, so there is, at some point on the Via Appia, I think it's, I'm not sure if it's the fifth mile. In my head, I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's the fifth or the seventh mile. There is also a basalt quarry. So so Rome is built on with basalt stones. Kind of the city is paved with those stones, and they come from this volcanic material that's all
around.
Not all around, but in the south of Rome, everywhere accessible, more or less. And so they appropriated it as well. Which is, I guess, logical to use the material that is around you.
I guess every species does it. Birds build their nests.
Yeah. But then Jacqueline's project, her soil drilling, you know, also deals with this discrepancy in time, because it's 6,000 years old, the oldest piece of soil. But then the park is created in 1972, which is not even 50 years old. And so there's also this discrepancy in time. It doesn't really matter if mine is much older than hers. It's about how abstract this concept is and how we can address it and to wrap our heads around this abstract concept.
Yeah, and these actions that happen in the landscape. So the action of the Amstel Park being developed, as if a park is developed in a semi-natural space.
Yeah.
Might be a good moment to go into.